highest and most in-demand actors in Hollywood, and he launched into the stratosphere as Gary, the overachieving aide to the president on Veep. But he was also Buster, the pathetically adorable brother on Arrested Development. And if you didn't know this, he was the voice of Forky in Toy Story 4. But his new show, The Mysterious Benedict Society, is coming out on Friday, and it has him playing two hilarious characters. Welcome, Tony Hale. I am so excited to talk to you, Tony, because I'm sure you've heard this a lot, but I am a crazy fan of Veep, and in no small part because of you.
That's so nice. Your lighting is so much better than mine. I apologize.
It's still, we've got the pandemic hangover. Everyone's still on Zoom, and I have a village.
Okay. I look like I'm in the shadows, but all right. Thank you.
Okay, so first things first, yesterday was Father's Day. You have a teenage daughter. I was dying to know if she finds you as funny on Veep or any of the other roles you've done, Arrested Development, as the rest of us do.
No, right when you started, I had an immediate answer. No. No, we're in that. She's my precious. I love her. She's 15, but she's embarrassed by every single thing I do. Which only adds, you know, fuel to the fire, which makes me want to embarrass her more. But she's Amen. The best.
I have that affliction here in this household with a 14-year-old and 15-year-old, two sons who think I'm ridiculous. Even if I say hello to someone in an elevator, I'm embarrassing. Do you have that too? I mean, as a public person, how do you equate what's going on in their heads?
I don't know. I mean, it's funny because she doesn't really. I mean, she never really got into. She was too young when Arrested Development was happening. Veep wasn't very appropriate, so she hasn't really gotten into much of what I do. But the other day in the car, I was singing, and she says, "Dad, do you think you have a good voice?" And I said, "Not really." And she goes, "Well, at least you're aware of it." Good timing.
Well, so that's a good point that you bring up, that, you know, she was too young for Arrested, even though it's, you know, people are watching it now in droves. It has mass fan appeal. But your wife, Martel, who was mm-hmm. makeup artist, worked on SNL, is acclaimed for her work. I watched you tell, I think, Jimmy Fallon or Jimmy Kimmel or somebody that she wasn't a fan of your work either.
Oh, I think that was Fallon. I think we were playing, you know that game Celebrity? We were playing mm-hmm. Where you kind of pick up names, and it's like a charades kind of a game. And we were on a team, and I think my clue was Alvin and the Chipmunks, and I was in that movie. And I was telling her, you know, I was in this movie, I was being chased by rodents, and all she said was, you know, Ratatouille. And I was like, well, I wasn't in that movie. So do you follow what I do? Like then I said, honey, I wasn't in that movie. And she goes, well, you can't expect me to see everything you've done.
Like, all right. Yeah, you can. Yeah. Those are big projects, right?
Like, we're married. You should see my movies.
So does it bring you down a notch? I mean, obviously you're out in public and on the red carpet, everyone's Tony, look over here, click, click, click. And then you get home and they're like, I'm sorry. And you are?
Well, it's not just that. The characters I play, they're not the most courageous human beings. So it's like the characters I play are pretty, they're just constantly brought down a notch. So that's, even when I'm a character, that happens. But it's like, even right now, I'm in North Carolina with my family, my extended family, at our friend David Allen's house. They were kind to invite us. And it's just like, it's very family. Like, it's just kind of, it's not really an issue, which is nice when you're kind of out of that kind of LA scene a little bit.
Well, are you more recognized for Gary from Veep? And there you are with the cast. I think that might be the Golden Globes or some other fancy event where you guys just walked away with so much hardware. Or are you more recognized for Buster Bluth on Arrested Development or any other projects?
I would say probably, I mean, Arrested, definitely people really enjoyed Buster. But then it kind of got half and half with Veep, especially when kind of with politics, as, you know, nutty as it was these past few years, people were watching a lot of Veep. And, you know, it was kind of something, you know, it was hard to laugh at the news. So it was easier to laugh at Veep. So a lot more people started watching that. But then, like, when Toy Story happened, it's always sweet because if kids love Forky, they'll come up to me and their parents will be like, hey, he played Forky. And the kid's like, nah, that's not Forky. So it's really fun. I'll send their parents a voice memo from Forky so that they can play to them. And so the kids just, that kind of blows their minds. So that's always fun.
Well, there's something about you that resonates with tattoo parlors and your fans, because we discovered, I don't know if you know about this, but it is mad crazy. We discovered all of these fans who have tattoos of you, and a lot of them are of Buster with your hook, you know, the hook hand. Did you know about this?
No. Wow. Whoa. Wow. No, I have not seen those. Wow. Yeah, Come on. Oh, that arm.
And so for those who might not know, a seal, like in the show Arrested Development, a seal bit off Buster's hand, and it ended up being a hook. And there's your famous expression, "Hey, brother."
Hey, brother. I know. What was fun is when I was shooting the show, I remember going up to Mitch Hurwitz, the creator, and saying, oh, you know, I had like a crazy idea for Buster. And he goes, no, I think I'm going to have a seal bite off your hand. And I was like, well, that's funnier. That's better. But yeah, people love. And then that new season, I got all these different extensions on my hand. So they put a hook, and then they put like a hospital hand, and then they put one of those like like mechanical hands. They put all different kind of things. Oh yeah, there's another hand. They just added all these extensions on me. And I was like, actually, I had no idea kind of what was going on in the story. And the props department would just put a different hand on me. And I'd be like, so what does this have to do with anything? And they go, I don't know. Just do it, man. None of us really
just
know.
Just go
going.
With it. Just go with
just
it.
Go
well,
with
just
it.
Before I go to break, I want to show it wasn't the only tattoo that your fans loved. A bunch of people got tattoos of a Forky, of your character Forky. Like, what is it about you, a voiceover character, and you've got fans getting tattoos of Forky because of you?
Oh, I don't think it has anything to do with me. That has everything to do with those Pixar amazing people. And Forky was so sweet because he just came into the world and he was like, listen, guys, I'm just here to help people eat chili and go to the trash. That's all I'm made for. and Woody comes along. He's like, no, you're made to be a toy. You're made to love and be loved. And he's like, all right, I'll go. Okay. I just thought I was going to the trash. But look at him.
Well, it's so fabulous. I mean, what a tribute to know that people are doing the indelible image of you and your character on their body parts. We're going to go to break, but when we come back, Tony, I am dying to hear about what it was like on the set when you weren't recording. And also, when you were recording, how often you would just break down in laughter with people like Julia Louis-Dreyfus and the rest of the cast of Veep. So we're coming back with the marvelously talented Tony Hale after this. We're back with the talented Tony Hale, who just makes me laugh when I hear his name. Tony, I really mean it when I say that. I hear your name and I instantly think of Gary. I do love Buster Bluth, without question, from Arrested Development. But I wondered what it was like just working on the show Veep with those comedians and how much you guys just laughed your entire day at work.
We really did laugh the entire time, to the point where I remember I broke during a scene. And Julia turned to me and she said, Tony, you know you're not watching the show, you're in the show. And I just, because I couldn't keep it together. And it's like when you're working with those kind of people, it's impossible to just keep it together. And it was constantly challenging. And also the writing, and they gave us, and but the thing is, Selena's character never let me speak. So I would just stand behind her and just make facial expressions. And I'm the one who had to constantly keep it together. And I was really, oh, and actually, if you look, I carry around this bag all the time. And when you see me looking in my bag, I'm just laughing. That's not me looking in my bag. That's me just trying to cover a laugh.
No kidding. Was there anything actually in the bag? Like, I remember thinking if there were like some items just in case you guys were going to ad lib something. Like, what was in the bag?
I think if Gary actually saw what was in my bag, he would be ashamed. I think it was like, you know, empty water bottles and like script pages. But in Gary's bag, he probably sewed hundreds of pockets in there because he had a pocket for each separate thing that she needed. He had Costco versions of that bag stuff in his apartment just in case he runs out, because God forbid he runs out. You know, his identity was completely Selena. So whatever, if he ever did not have what she needed, he would just completely have a mental breakdown.
And for sure, there were like several versions of chapstick. I always assumed that it would be chapstick immediately at the ready in Gary's bag.
Hundreds of brands.
So I remember reading that it wasn't a big ad-libbed show, even though when you watch it, it just looks like it's entirely ad-libbed. There had to be some, you know, extemporaneous stuff in there.
Yeah. Well, what they did is Armando Iannucci for the first 4 years was the showrunner, and then it was David Mandel. And they really allowed us to have a lot of rehearsal time. And so they would give us a script, and then we would find ways to kind of come up with bits or to see if stuff gelled, pitch jokes. But once we were on set, it was pretty set in stone. However, I will say what was probably my favorite part of doing the show was we had the script, we had the kind of choreography, but then we kind of got on set and kind of what we could do with the physicality. Like Julia, for instance, I would be putting on her coat and I would miss an arm, or she would drop her purse and I would try to catch it. All these different ways that we would try to find different physicality to make it funnier. And just for her to kind of constantly abuse me was just like, there was nothing funner than that. Because Gary, my character, he just had rose-colored glasses on. I mean, she was Jesus to him. She could not do any wrong. So he never heard her abuse. He just bounced back. But just any ways we could get her to kind of put a jab at him was just, that was a joy to do.
I mean, it kills me that I read somewhere that your parents once said that Arrested Development was a stupid show.
Yeah.
And that Veep is too mean. And then, they had to have come around, especially that moment on the Emmys when you walked up on stage with Julia.
Oh, yeah.
She's getting her award, and you played Gary on stage behind her.
Yeah.
You know, obviously in television, you just can't run the Emmys anytime you want. So I think we have a picture of you standing there, and you were holding her purse. How did that happen? Did you come up with that idea? Did she? When did you decide to do this?
Yeah, so we... Oh, memories. I love Julia. She called me that morning of the Emmys and said, I think I have an idea. I think I'm going to want you to carry my purse on stage. And in my head, I was like, okay, A, I think you are going to win. And B, that sounds crazy. But I just said, all right, let's go for it. And then we kind of came up with a little bit, but then just I forgot about it. And then when she won, it was like, all right, game on. I'm going to go with your purse, see what happens. And thankfully, I think it worked out. Hopefully.
It worked so well. I watched it live and I was dying. So, of course, you know, everybody else like me who's a Veep fan, we just want another reunion. I know you did some table reads. You raised money for, you know, different political causes. But what about it? What about a full movie? What about doing more?
Oh,
like, just
gosh.
More content.
That would be, I know that every single person on the show would be on board because we love that show so much. I think it's up to kind of HBO and David Mandel and Armando and all those wonderful, talented people if they want to do it. But I know that the minute they say it, we all are just in there. Because we not only do we love the material, but we just love each other. And we have such a good time behind the scenes and working together. And I don't know, it was really special. It was a real special place.
So you can't make any news with me right now. It's not as though there's any little conversations going on.
It would be my joy if I could make news. If somebody said we are doing it, I'd just start crying because I miss those people so much. That would be such a blast.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm starting a petition for it because I think, you know, we've all been starving for content during pandemic and we've watched everything that's available. So that would be delicious. Okay. I just wanted to ask you a little bit about this commercial that I was unaware, my team was unaware that you started your acting career. You had this commercial and now looking back on it, it's like, of course that's Tony Hale. I want to play the ad. It's a Volkswagen ad that features you acting crazy inside the Volkswagen, and then we get it. We realize real quick why. Let's take a look at it. I'm going to ask you about it on the other side.
An speaker stereo. Just one of over 40 features now standard on the new Golf. Thank you
very much. Wow. Eight speaker stereo system. That should give you how anachronistic that is. Like, that was a long time ago, bro.
Exactly.
And boy, how fun. Have you seen that in a while?
It's been, I shot that show, I think, 21 years ago. Not that show, that commercial, 21 years ago. And I remember them kind of giving me the idea and being like, "Are you going to go crazy in a car to the song?" I was excited because I hadn't been out to LA before to shoot, and so they brought me out to LA. I think I was really excited just the fact that they gave me free lunch.
Dude, I think it has to be longer than 21 years ago. It's a cassette system they're advertising, and 21 years ago, I think we were already into CDs.
That might be true. That might be. Oh, wow, man. Time flies, Ashley. What's happening?
Sorry to age you, fella. If I brought my stuff up from the 80s, we'd all get a good laugh. Okay, when we come back after the break, Tony, I've got all these questions for you from our social media followers, and they're really good. Like, these people know you, but I also have a little game I want to play, and it's called Doctor or Not Doctor. We're going to test your memory of the roles that you played to see if you were a doctor or not a doctor. We are
going to bring shame on me?
We are not bringing shame. I think you're going to know every one of them. Tim Matheson nailed this one. I expect you're going to as well. Back in a moment. Enough of Tony Hale, then you're in luck. This Friday, his new project starts streaming on Disney Plus. It's called The Mysterious Benedict Society. This is a popular book series. For those who don't know, it's about four orphans with special skills who are recruited to save the world. And you play twin brothers. I've always wanted to know what it was like playing twins. Do you do them at the same time and go back and forth, or do you only one role and then you go back and you shoot the other role? What's it like?
Yeah, we would do kind of one. We would go back and forth because we shot an 8-episode series, and so I kind of had to go back and forth. But it was very fun playing two completely different personalities. And you're right; this is a really popular book series, and I'm incredibly honored to be a part of it. I don't know if you've read it or heard of it, but it starts off in something called The Emergency Is Happening, which is this state that's kind of bringing everybody into panic and fear, and no one can kind of put their finger on what's causing it. And so I gather these four kids together to help find the source. But the thing that I'm really crazy about is these kids, they don't have magical powers. Their superpower is their intellect, their creativity, and their empathy. And that's what kind of finds the source. And it's a really beautiful, fun story. Really beautiful.
I love it. It has like a Lemony Snicket feel to it. Okay, I'm going to do the rapid fire thing that we did with Tim Matheson, who I know you know from Animal House. He played Otter. He was great at this game. So because you've had so many roles in your acting career, we're going to do this. It's called Doctor or Not Doctor is the name of the game. I'm going to name the show, and then you have to tell me if you played a doctor or we're not a doctor. First is an easy one. We'll start easy. Veep.
Not a doctor.
You're right. It was Gary Walsh. Although you studied science at the University of Virginia. Your bachelor's degree. Your bachelor's
can there,
degree
can there be like,
for Gary.
Maybe, is there like a wannabe a doctor? Maybe I'll do like a wannabe a doctor.
I think he wanted to be, but his bachelor's degree ended up being hotel management, which I love. Okay, Doc McStuffins. Doctor or not doctor when you played in the show Doc McStuffins.
Oh my gosh, you are really digging. Let's see. I'm going to say not a doctor.
You're right. You played Tobias the Elf in two of the show's Christmas episodes. Spoiler, they save Christmas both times. So good on you. That's excellent. Another Disney check mark. So the next one is Samantha Who, doctor or no doctor?
I think it was a doctor. I think it was a psychiatrist, wasn't I? Wasn't I a therapist?
Yes, so great. You played Dr. Andy Adams, and you were helping the main character get her memory back. The main character was Samantha, obviously, played by Christina Applegate. And bonus round here, you also played a doctor on Christina Applegate's show called Up All Night. So look at you, getting a twofer out of Christina Applegate's products.
That scene was with Jean Smart right there. I'm crazy about it. I love Jean Smart also. Christina.
Isn't she amazing? I love her. I love Jean Smart. Okay. This is going back, Tony. Dawson's Creek. Doctor or not doctor?
Doctor.
Yeah. You played a doctor that asks Dawson if he wants to take his elderly friend off of life support. Look at you with the smarty pants glasses. Okay, Sex and the City. Did you play a doctor or not a doctor on Sex and the City?
No, I was a photographer's assistant, Tiger.
You nailed it. That was a long time ago. That was like 20 years ago. You,
it was a tiger.
Look at you.
I remember that. Thank you.
Yes,
thank
and
you.
Apparently there's the shot of you freaking out because the photographer was doing a nude photo session with Kim Cattrall. Obviously, Samantha, the character played by Kim Cattrall. Yep. She had to get nude for the photo shoot, and there's your reaction. Okay, I want to fit this in. Okay, so Tiffany on Facebook, we, by the way, got so many questions for you. Tiffany on Facebook asks this question. Is there a woman that you suck up to or idolize like in Veep, or did you base that character on someone you know?
Is there a woman you suck up or idolize like in Veep? I would say no, but I'm sure that character came from a lot of pain somewhere. No. I think Gary was just... I remember asking Dave, like, the showrunner, what he wants, what Gary wants, and he just wanted Selena to love him. That's all he wanted. So he would just do anything to just love, to get her to love him. And so I kind of just kept using that. And also my base, just anxiety core, just drew from that.
Well, other than Julia Louis-Dreyfus, do you have a comedy idol?
Yes, I do. It is Tim Conway from, if you remember from the Carol Burnett Show. Tim Conway.
The best.
Growing up, he was, I don't know if you remember that sketch where he was the dentist and he was working on Harvey Korman and he kept numbing his own, his own body.
So he would actually numb himself.
He would numb his leg and his hand and he just did it so effortlessly and it was just so beautiful. And he never winked at the audience. He never pushed the comedy. It was just effortless. And I got to meet him once and I don't think I was able to speak. I just kind of went into a state.
I would be the same. When he shuffled around, he was the best. That's a good idol to have. And by the way, you're my comedy idol, even though I don't do comedy. Oh. If I did, you'd be the one. Tony, thank you for this. It's been so good to meet you. Your show is streaming this Friday, The Mysterious Benedict Society. It's on Disney Plus. I wish you all the luck in the world, and I hope we get to meet in person and hoist one someday.
You as well. Bless you.